Welcome to The Radical Word, the chapter-by-chapter, verse-by-verse teaching ministry of Pastor Rick Lancaster, Senior Pastor of Calvary Chapel, French Valley. Open your Bible and ask the Holy Spirit to open your heart so that the Word of God can do a radical work in you.
I have to tell you that I'm just honored to be here. That's just the truth. This morning when I went out and did devotional and got to breathe in that pine air, you know, and the coolness of the morning and just the beauty of it. If you don't feel blessed that you're here, something's wrong with you. Not true? It's true. Well, our theme is repurposed. What a great concept that being repurposed is, and it has so much significance to the life of a Christian. Pastor Rick's message last night kind of set the tone for all of us in terms of what we need to do. In fact, he shared a major point for our weekend. We must be cleansed to be repurposed. But I also want us to recognize this simple fact, and that is that God did not create man for hell. Think about that. Ponder that. God didn't create man for hell. He created man for fellowship, and when you think about it, companionship. Think about Adam walking on the earth in commune with Creator God. Wouldn't you want to do that? I would. Perhaps one of the greatest statements, though, of God's purpose comes out of Revelation 4:11, and it says, "Thou art worthy," just what we sang, "O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created." That's out of NIV, which I don't use very often, but that concept of we're created for His pleasure, for His ultimate goodwill. In fact, in Philippians 2:13, it says, "For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for His good pleasure." Why is that? Because He knows best. He's Creator God. In Genesis 1, chapter 27, it says, "So God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created him." Now, if it was left there, what a perfect world that would have been. God had and has a purpose for man. It means that God has a purpose for you and your life. Repurposed. We need that because, unfortunately, the fall of man came in the garden and God could not and would not commune with sinful man. And as Pastor Rick shared about unclean vessels, man became an unclean vessel. God, who is pure and holy, could not hang out with the unclean. Man had to be cleaned up. Doesn't that kind of hit home? I mean, think about you and I. As you look up here, you know, you see an unclean man, but somebody that's saved. But even in my state, I need the opportunity to get it right again. Psalms chapter 14, verse 3, it says, "They have all turned aside. They have together become corrupt. There is none who does good. No, not one." God created or knew that man would fall. He also knew that we would all need a pathway to reconciliation. And he also knew that his son would be that pathway. That reconciliation that's available to you and I because of the cross. Pastor Rick also, and it's so interesting because when you prepare a message outside of, but in a series, you know, of somebody that's leading, it's so interesting how many times the Holy Spirit blends what you're saying to what that other person is saying. Pastor Rick last night said, he created us also because he loves us. He loves us. And because he loves us, he gave us a pathway back to him. John chapter 14, 6 should be a verse that we all memorize. It says, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through him, Jesus Christ. Our world is filled with other alternatives, other pathways that man says should happen. But God made a way for every person on earth. We can be repurposed. This morning, I want to talk a little bit about part of that process that God gave his children, and not only that he identified it, but he gives us the ability to do that, to be repurposed. Think about that. You know, some of you thinking, yeah, I don't need a whole lot. But you're up here because you need a swift kick in the. Could be the backside. Could be in the head. Could be in your stomach. I don't know. You know. You know what you need. But this day and working into this evening when we have a time of afterglow, I want you to look deep inside of yourself. I want you to be ready and willing to hear what God wants to do with you and through you. If you'll turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 21. I want to reread that. It says, therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. My topic this morning is that middle part where it says sanctified. Sanctified. It's going to have you all stand up and read just that part of the verse. Sanctified. But I didn't. So as we get into what God has laid on my heart for you, let's pray. Father, as men that need to hear from you, we just approach your throne. Boldly we approach it. Lord, I know that there are men here that are hurting, that are wondering, that have some issues in their life that they need you to work on and through. And so, Lord, I pray that as we talk about being sanctified, how we do that, what that means, grant that each man, Father, here this morning would desire to be sanctified, would understand that you've given them the pathway, the process, for that to happen. And Lord, I pray for conviction to be upon every heart. Every heart, Father. Because we need to be convicted of those things that cause us to walk out of that sanctified place. Not that we lose that, Father, but that we walk away at times and, Lord, it creates a witness that is not always good. And so, Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would fall upon the men of Calvary Chapel, French Valley, that afresh, anew, empowered, Father. We've come up here, Lord, to just seek you. What's better than that, Father? So bless us with more of you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. So first thing we need to do is start off with a definition. What is a definition of sanctification or sanctified? In 1 Thessalonians 4:3-4, it says, "For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor." So many. In fact, Kevin read, and I'll come back to that passage, out of John chapter 17, another issue about sanctification, another verse that calls us to be sanctified. But the word sanctification, related to the word saint, has to do with holiness. Appreciate what Chad led us in. You are holy. Who's holy? God is holy. Only God is holy. And yet, being sanctified means to be holy. It also means to be set apart. And so a working definition that I would suggest to you is to be set apart for holy use. To be set apart for holy use. Now, many of you are thinking right now, yep, I know what that means. It describes Pastor Rick. It describes Greg Laurie. It describes Billy Graham. It doesn't describe Mike. He was pointing at himself. Sorry about that. But you fill in the blank. Mike Garcia just filled in the blank. That's what he said. But you fill in that blank. You know, you want to look and say that person is sanctified. Because we think that some people are more sanctified or set apart than others. They're more useful to God than others. I want you to think about that in your own mind for a minute. Is that a true statement that there are more and better sanctified people than others? Well, gents, I don't think we should ever think that some Christians are better than others. I don't think we should. I think Scripture tells us that we shouldn't do that. God does not show partiality, nor is he a respecter of persons. Think about that. Billy Graham, God has used him to be the conduit of leading millions, probably, of people to the Lord. Years ago, I spent some time with Chad and have enjoyed my relationship with him and brought him in to work with me at a hospice program, and he was a young guy. And now when I look at Chad, what I see is a still a young man that has an anointing upon his life. And through him, so many people have come to know the Lord. God's not a respecter of persons. He desires that each one of us make a choice to serve him. The question becomes, who are you going to serve? That's the conflict, and that's the question that should be upon your heart this weekend. Who are you going to serve? Man, or are you going to serve God? I was just in Phoenix. A company that I work for just got bought out. And so I was in this place, and our small company now is a part of this massive group of hospices. You know, it's a corporate world. And my regional vice president, we were hanging out together, and he believes himself to be a Christian, says it. And I'm sitting there with him, and I'm watching him down multiple glasses of scotch. Multiple. And I'm thinking to myself, yeah, that's a good witness. In fact, some of the people on our team were looking because they know him even better than I, and they say, we better keep an eye on him because he might be found under the table. You know, we're conflicted about who we're going to serve on a daily basis. We're conflicted because man's way seems easy, or we acquiesce, we give into the pressures of importance, our temptation, or whatever is out there in your job, and we become like Robbie, as I call him. There's a time when I was working at this church. I wasn't working. I was attending this church, and we were at a conference in Nashville, Tennessee, and we were walking down the street with a bunch of guys, and I know who that guy is. So I walked up, and I said, hi. He was a deacon at the church that I was at, and he's just walking out of a bar, and he's a little bit tipsy. All the way in Nashville, here's this guy that's walking down there because he had acquiesced to what the world, what he thought he needed to do for the people that were around him for his position. You know, men, it's a moment by moment. It's a daily process. Who are you going to serve? You have a choice in that. Well, God does want to use each of us to the fullest extent that he can. But what do we need to have to be able to be sanctified, to be set apart, to be holy? The first thing, and Pastor Rick talked about it last night, we have to be clean. We have to have a clean heart. We have to, on a regular basis, go and allow our heart and our mind through confession of sin to be clean. If you don't know John 1:9, you need to memorize that. Because I'll tell you that each one of us should be coming to the throne room on a regular basis, because I know you guys. You ain't perfect. You struggle in life. I struggle in life. There are times, and you know, when I was flying back over yesterday afternoon, my heart was pretty heavy, because you know what I didn't do? I didn't confront Robbie. And I needed to. If you claim to be a brother in Christ and you're out there doing some of those things that non-Christians and brothers in Christ can say, yeah, that's a little bit weak. We need to be bold. We need to help hold each other accountable. And I'll tell you, I'll give you permission. If you see something in me that's not what you would think needs to be holy, you don't see holy behavior, tell me. I need you guys. You need you guys. I am so blessed to see how you pour into each other on a regular basis. Men praying for each other. We should be doing that often. The second thing is you have to be willing. You have to be open, because those who are willing will be used. In fact, if you think about it, one of the best ways to determine how you grow in church in terms of leadership or serving is just to be willing. If you're there in the morning, or you stay late, or you step up and say, I'll do that. That allows God to use you more and more at church as well as in other places. Are you willing to do what is necessary? And understand, goes back to the issue of choice. It is a choice to be willing to do it. Because life has so much busyness that we can always opt into that. I'm still supposed to be over at Phoenix. You know, it's mandatory to indoctrinate you in our corporate world. And I said, too bad, so sad. Because my commitment to you guys and to my God is a choice that I will take this over any of that. I don't care. Because what's over there is the world. What's here is a glimpse of heaven. I want you to think about that. You look around. In fact, do that. Look around into somebody's face. Turn, look. You've looked into a piece of heaven. How important is that for us to do? God doesn't force that upon us. He desires us to choose to serve. The next thing that is so important is availability. It's hard to use if you're not available. Right? I mean, think about it. You can't do anything if you're so busy with life that you're not willing to make yourself available to do something. Now, I understand workaholic. I understand eating. And I understand that we have jobs, some of us, that we have to do for a period of time. But you know what? You can always make yourself available in some way or some fashion. That's not only at church, by the way. It's in our workplace. It's in our communities. It's in our schools. And dare I say, it's in our families. Because if I'm not available to my family, and my family now consists of Deb and I and a bunch of grandkids. But you know what? If I'm not available to Deb to do things with her and for her, I'm going to lose some of the bountiful joy that I receive being in a marriage that is unto the Lord. You can look at it yourself. We were talking a little bit at breakfast this morning about kids, you know. Dylan was not overly happy with how Norm was doing something in terms of a discipline in his classroom. And he was looking at it from the standpoint that, oh, I wonder how that kid feels. But you know, sometimes the feeling of those children, our children, are not as important as our spending time to hear them, see them, experience them. Availability. You know, they used to say that it's not about the quantity of time, it's about the quality of time. I don't know if I can say this in our little setting here. That's BS. Yeah, it is. You know why? Snookers. That's what it meant. Bull snookers. Yes. You know why that's not right? Because quality of time, yes, it's essential. But if you're not spending a lot of time with your kids, your family, your church family, and all of that, you don't know how to interact with them. You don't know how to speak their language. And you have to learn, especially in this day and time, how to speak the language of your family. I wouldn't want to be a teenager in this day and time, I'll tell you, because the struggles that they go through. But as a parent, if you have a teenager, I don't care what age, grade school kid, if you're not learning what makes them tick, I don't care how much quality time. You know, and when you think of quality time, you think of Disneyland. I get to take them to Disneyland. That's quality time, isn't it? No, it's a diversionary time. Now, you can use that, but that's not the key. If that's all I'm doing is going to Disneyland. Availability. So you have to be clean. You have to be willing, and you have to be available. And the next thing that you need, the fourth, is potential. You need to have potential. Now, how do you get potential? You're born. Simple fact, you're born. You're born with the potential because God created you, you. And because He created you, you, you have the potential to be a vessel of honor or a vessel of dishonor. I would say that Robbie was a vessel of dishonor this weekend. And it's unfortunate for him because a brother in Christ, because he says that he knows Jesus Christ as his personal Savior, chose not to deal with that. But I do get tomorrow, by the way. That's right. So important that we understand that we all have that potential. And in fact, that should be the reason that you're here today. You recognize within yourself you have potential to be a vessel of honor for the Lord. And what does that mean? That means that we're going to give honor to God by our actions and how we interact with other people. Again, going back to your workplace, you know. One of the things that I see a lot in this day and time are Christians that think that, you know what, if I'm out and I hit my thumb with a hammer, it's okay to use an expletive. You know, I don't know about you, but that's hard for me. I've even tried to do it. While you stoop. No, it comes out at times when it shouldn't. But I've purposed in my heart to not use that language. But I see so many Christians in this day and time that they haven't done that. I'm not judging them. I'm just saying that we have a choice. We have a choice to acquiesce to what man is throwing out up at us, you know? Do I want to be accepted? Do I want to climb the corporate ladder? And what do I, if I do that, what do I have to give up? I'll tell you, men, we're faced every single day now with some choices of dealing with man's way or God's way. And guess what? You may go to jail for that. If you stand strong in who you are, in your potential, you may have some consequences to that. Are you ready to deal with some of that? I want to take a little bit of time, and I want to look at a few men who were sanctified from the Word of God. I only have one Old Testament character, but you know, if you really think about the Old Testament, there's so many men that were sanctified. Moses, Abraham, Job, all Joseph. I mean, the list just can go on and on. But the man I want to look at, and we're going to read one verse. It's out of Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5. God said this to Jeremiah, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you as a prophet to the nations." God knew Jeremiah in the womb. He not only knew him, but he sanctified him. Why is that? Well, simply put, God knows the beginning from the end. He knows who is going to be there at the end, repurposed, reconciled with him. God has a plan for us, just like with Jeremiah. You look at Jeremiah's life and the impact that he had, you would think, wow, that dude wasn't very successful. Because, quite honestly, the kings didn't listen to him very well. He got to spend a whole lot of time in a dungeon, in mud pits, and naked sometimes. I mean, this guy had a difficult life. And yet God knew what he wanted to do with him. Is that any different than you and I? No. He knows us. He knew what he wanted to do with Jeremiah. And I believe that as I look around and see each of you, he has that same purpose. Oh, he may not ask you to get naked and lay in your house, but what he will do is to want to use you in your family, in your work, in the church. And isn't it a blessing to know that God knows us even in the womb? That pretty much shuts down calling a fetus a fetus. What it does is to say that at that point in time when there is conception, that baby is a person. And sidelight, think about the millions of babies that have been aborted that are going to be in heaven because God knew them. Jeremiah was sanctified from the womb on. He was set apart. I want to look at three New Testament examples. The first one is the Apostle Peter. He was sanctified as an apostle, but before, you know, Jesus rose from the dead and Peter really understood, what kind of a man was Peter? Think about it. He was very gruff. He was a fisherman. He was unkept. Some commentators even called him vile. He was a man's man. He was boisterous, and he had a temper that was unbelievable. He had really, when you think about it, hoof and mouth disease. Couldn't keep his foot out of his mouth. He denied Jesus. He rebuked Jesus. The list goes on and on and on of the apostle that was called by Jesus Christ. And then after he was sanctified, when Jesus called him, and then he understood after Jesus rose again, what did he become? He became a humble man. He became willing. He became obedient. He became a servant of the Lord, even to the point of death. Tradition says that Peter chose to be crucified upside down because he wasn't worthy to be crucified as Jesus Christ was. He was called the rock that I'll build this church on. But you know, an interesting thing about Peter, that even after he was sanctified, he was impulsive. Paul had to come and rebuke him for something that he was doing. Doesn't that give us hope? I mean, my goodness. I would say that every single one of us have done those things. We've not denied Jesus as our personal Savior, but we deny the Christian life by being a Robbie, by being a person that, oh, you know, okay, there's my church life, and here's my work life, and here's my whatever life. And in those other lives, we give ourselves permission to truly not be bold for Jesus Christ. That's not for guilt, gentlemen. That's for the fact that God's asking you to look deeply within your heart and live your life choosing to worship Him. It means that we're not perfect in life. Amen? That's why John 1:9 is so important. And then, of course, one of my favorite biblical characters, Stephen out of chapter 6 in Acts. Now, here was a man that nothing strange or outstanding about him, but Scripture says that, let me just read chapter 6, first few verses. And it says, "Now in those days when the number of the disciples was multiplying, there arose a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists, because their widows were neglected in the daily distribution. Then the 12 summoned the multitude of the disciples and said, 'It is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, who we may appoint over this business.'" And it goes down in verse 5, "And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit." Stephen wasn't this great, large, whatever kind of a guy. What he was willing. What he was available. And what he was choosing to be used. You know, as I look around the room, I see a lot of Stephens. I see guys that are desiring to be used of God. The key for each of us is to continue on that pathway to be clean, to cleanse ourselves daily, to be willing, to be available. And with that, our potential, our sanctification is done by God. He uses us the way He chooses to do. But after sanctification, we need to be able to step toward the Lord. Last person I want to talk about is Onesimus out of Philemon. I just want to read a few words about him. But Onesimus, what a great guy this guy was. You know what he was? Thief, slave, a runaway. Probably a pretty raunchy kind of dude. But what happened to him? Met Paul. Now, think about that. He met Paul. Now, don't you know, I've used Chad, and so I'm going to use him again. Chad goes into the homes of people that are terminally ill. And I think to myself, having put this together, oh gosh, they're going to meet Chad. And the reason I say that is because I know what's going to come out of his mouth. You know what that is? Do you know how to be saved? Do you know and do you want a relationship with Jesus Christ? I know that's coming out of his mouth. You know why? Because he won't do it, I'm going to fire him. I told a chaplain that one time, wasn't Chad. I looked at him across the table when I was interviewing him, and he said to me, "What does this job entail?" And I said, "Well, I'll tell you in a nutshell. If you don't share Jesus Christ with these people that literally are about to die, I'll fire you." He remembers that to this day. He should. Wouldn't that be nice to be said about us? You know, well, you can definitely say it about Paul. But here's Onesimus. And Paul says in verse 12 of Philemon, "I'm sending him back. You therefore receive him, that is my own heart, whom I wished to keep with me, that on your behalf he might minister to me in my chains for the gospel. But without your consent, I wanted to do nothing, that your good deed might not be by compulsion, as it were, but voluntary. For perhaps he departed for a while for this purpose, that you might receive him forever, no longer as a slave, but more than a slave, a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord." Onesimus went from being a runaway to being touched by the Holy Spirit to be set apart to go back and to minister. Now, I used those four people for a purpose. The purpose is because we can see ourselves in there. Oh, there's probably not too many apostles here, you know. I think there are some Jeremiahs here. I think God has called us from the womb to be set apart. I definitely think there are some Stephens. And I know there are a few Onesimuses. All strata of life did God call us as men to be set apart for holiness across all of it. So you can see that no matter what you've done in your life, what you think about in your day-to-day functions, even those times when you play in the corporate world, God still has his hand on you. He wants you set apart for his purposes. Again, that's why you should have wanted to come up here, because you need to hear from God to your heart. How do we become sanctified? I'll give you four ways that are part of that process. Here's the first one. Get saved. Just do it. And I say that because to be sanctified, you need to be saved. You need to give your life to Jesus Christ. Pastor Rick last night led us in that. And I'm going to make the assumption that we all prayed that prayer and meant it. But it's so important to understand that to be set apart for God's purposes, salvation must come. And in fact, you cannot be a vessel of honor without being saved. You cannot be a vessel of honor without knowing Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. That's a relationship with Jesus that's number one. The second thing that I would share with you is that you need to yearn for more. Yearn for more. What does that mean? It means more of Jesus. It means more of the Word. It means more of everything concerning God. In Psalm chapter 19, starting in verse 7, it says this: "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb." We need that. We need to yearn for more of Jesus Christ. And I say that because that makes you willing to be used. Because the more that you see of Jesus Christ, the more you see how lacking we are as individuals. But Christ empowers us. Christ does things for us and through us, in us, and then through us that are mind-boggling. We need to yearn for more. It's sweeter than honey. It's better than gold. A born-again believer should hunger and thirst after Jesus, his word, his truth, his relationship. Kevin shared this scripture that I'm about to read this morning. And, you know, it's so important that we understand that sanctification, well, yeah, some of the commentators, I'll take a little rabbit trail here. Some of the commentators talk about two types of sanctification. They talk about positional sanctification and practical sanctification. Positional sanctification comes at the time that we're saved. The moment that we're saved, we're sanctified. We're set apart from the world. What Kevin read is, we're not of this world. The reason we're not of this world is because we're saved by the Holy Spirit, and Jesus is going to the cross, and our heads should be looking upward, not this way. So it's positional. Every man in this room positionally is sanctified. And as God looks down and looks at you and I, he looks through the cross and he sees us as perfect. Are we? No. No. We won't be perfect until we get our glorified bodies. But in Christ, we're free to be who he's called us to be. That's positional. Practical, some people call it progressive, and I don't like that term, so I'm not using it. Practical sanctification is this process that we're talking about right now. Continuing to yearn for who God is. Continuing to input into our minds and our hearts and our lives more of Jesus Christ. Because, gentlemen, it's a choice. You know, it's a choice. Ball game, Jesus. Whatever your favorite thing is, spending time with Jesus. Now, I'm not saying that you can't enjoy this life, because I'll be honest, you walk around today when you have some free time and you look at a tree and you look at the clean air and stuff, God created that for you. He gave that to us as a gift, because he's the creator and we should see him in that. I go to Sedona as often as I can. I want to see more of God's creative ability when I'm there. It's so much fun to go on a walk with Deb in Sedona and sit on a rock and pray. Pray for you. Pray for our family. And one of the things that we consistently pray, wow, God, you are awesome. You spoke and it came into existence. The world uses Sedona as some spiritual vortex. One time we were hiking, and don't throw stones at me, but, and there is this girl and she's doing yoga and, you know, and all this other stuff. And I just yelled at her, "It ain't going to help you, honey." Sorry. Well, I might as well confess more. And so they build these little rocks, you know, on top of each other. I knock them all over. It is so much fun to go by and go, oh, did I do that? Oh well. God. God loves us. He wants to spend time with us. We're not of this world. In John 17:17, it says, "Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth." If you ever question what is truth, there's the answer. It's his word. It's truth. We should yearn to spend time with Jesus. You know what we're going to do in heaven? Have you ever thought about that? You know what we're going to do? We're going to fellowship, but we're going to spend time, all the time, with God the Father and Jesus Christ. Oh my, let's get a head start. Yearn for more. Being a repurposed man means that we keep our heads in the truth because it sanctifies us. It sets us apart. It strengthens us. It gives us the ability to be bold. It gives us the ability to share Jesus Christ and Him crucified to those people that quite honestly are going to hell out there. That's a responsibility, men, that we have. Yearn for more. Third thing I want to share with you is that we need to live in obedience. A lot of us don't like that word, but you know, it really is a simple word. It truly means doing what God has called us to do. How do we do that? Romans 12:12 says, renew your mind and do not, here's what it says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. 1 John 5:3 says, for this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. 1 John 2:3-4. Now by this we know Him, if we keep His commandments. He who says, I know Him, and does not keep His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Verse 5 out of 1 John, but whoever keeps His word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in Him. Obedience. I'm going to read this story to you that I found. It says, years ago, the Romanian pastor Joseph Zahn ran away from his communist country to study theology in England. In 1972, when he was ready to go back home, he discussed his plans with his fellow students. They pointed out that he might be arrested at the border. One student even asked, Joseph, what chances do you have of successfully implementing your plans? Joseph smiled to himself and said, this is typical Western thinking. Later, after he had gone back, he wrote, chances of success. I never thought in those terms. My thinking was in terms of obedience. I knew that the king said, go, and I had to say, yes, sir, and go. He turned that question around and asked God, what if I ask you about success? And the Lord spoke to him and gave him Matthew 10:16. And it says, I send you as sheep in the midst of wolves. The Lord said to him, tell me, what chance does a sheep surrounded by wolves have of surviving 5 minutes, let alone of converting the wolves? Joseph, that's how I send you. Totally defenseless and without a reasonable hope of success. If you are willing to go like that, if you're not willing to be in that position, don't go. I share that with you because we have a choice to be obedient. We have a choice that we can look at man's definition of success, man's definition of what we should be doing, or God's. Who are you going to choose? Man or God? And that's so important because God gives us those abilities at the time that we need them. You hear missionaries all the time talk about the fact that in my own power, I couldn't do that. But I know that God was with me because miraculous things happen. You see, it's not about us being successful. It's about God being successful through us. Through us. All of us have potential. The potential to be used of Jesus because we've been set apart and we have been sanctified. For we know who Jesus Christ, our Savior, is. We've been sanctified through the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. You're set apart, man. I didn't say it was easy. I didn't say that there was no struggle in it. Of course there's struggle. Your obedience to God's call on your life is essential to how He can use you. Fourth thing, and I'm not going to spend any time on here, but to be sanctified, Colossians 3:17 is a great scripture to share with you, because if you do what Paul says in Colossians, verse 3:17, you'll see your sanctification just explode. It says this, "And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." So if we're sanctified and want to operate that way, if we do everything that we do as unto Jesus Christ, what a blessing that's going to be. What an opportunity for you to be used. And not only that, but then you're able to give God the credit. All right, how does that apply to us? You know, being on the mountain gives us a couple of things. A chance to be open to the Lord to touch our heart. It gives us a chance to be unencumbered by life. And I would suggest to you, listening to what Rebecca wrote, and I received something similar to that from Deb this morning. We have a responsibility, gentlemen. We have a responsibility to look deep inside of ourselves to get some things done in us up here on this mountain and then take it home. I think Rebecca put it fairly eloquently. You're not doing this just for you. You're doing it for your marriage. You're doing it for your family. You're doing it for the church. Men, God wants to use each and every one of us as a foundation in your life, at church, at work, in your neighborhoods, in your families, to demonstrate who Jesus is through you. That sets you apart. It gives you that ability to be different. Now, nowhere in that does it say it's easy. Nowhere in that does it say that you're not going to experience tribulation. In fact, Scripture tells us the exact opposite. But it comes down to every single day asking God to help you through your day. Not only to help you through it, dealing with the temptations, dealing with the corporate world, but using you. One of my prayers in the morning is, Lord, whatever you want me to do today, let me see it, hear it, and do it. We miss so many opportunities to minister to people around us because we close our eyes, we close our ears. We're too busy. But He desires to use each and every one of us in the lives of people around us. It also coming up on this mountain allows us to search our hearts and ask ourselves these questions. And I'm going to end asking you these questions, and then I'm going to have Chad come and just play through a song or so. And I just want you to be quiet and ask yourselves these questions. Because as great as it is to come up here and to spend time with the Damians, with Dallas, all these great guys, God had a purpose for you to be here. He wants you to look deep inside yourself. So hear these questions and then spend some time, not long, but spend a few minutes while Chad is playing to answer them for yourself. Here's a few of the questions. Do I believe I have potential to be used of God? Do you have potential? Am I truly saved? That keeps coming back. Pastor Rick used it last night or talked about it last night. I've talked about it. And you know the reason for it? I don't want anybody that I'm around to go to hell. I'm not saying any of you are, but I'm saying that's a question that we need to have on the tip of our tongue because there's so many people that are lost out there. Am I willing to be used? You have to be willing. Ask yourself that. Am I available? And if I'm not available, what can I do to make myself available? And the last question I want you to ask yourself, are you living sanctified? Are you living sanctified? If you and I were at that corporate wing, whatever that thing was, indoctrination, would you demonstrate your sanctification that God has given you? And you don't have to use the corporate world. How about at work? How about when you're watching TV? Are you sanctified? So Chad, come on up. I want to take just 5 minutes, guys. I want it quiet. I want you to, you know, just take that little bit of time and answer those questions for yourself. Look deep within yourself and answer those. And then at the end of 5 minutes, Kevin will come back up and close our time together. Sanctification, gentlemen. God loves us and wants us to be set apart for His holiness.
Thank you for listening to The Radical Word. If you would like to get a copy of this message or this whole series, go to www.radicalword.com. To get more information about Calvary Chapel French Valley, go to www.calvaryfv.com. You can also reach us by phone at 951-600-3845. If you're in the Murrieta area, we would be blessed to have you join us at one of our services or Bible studies.
This is Pastor Rick. The Bible teaches that Jesus, God the Son, came and walked on this earth. He lived a perfect life and then died for the sins of the world, including mine and yours. By believing that and accepting that Christ's sacrifice was for your sins, the Bible says you will be saved. Why not do that right now, right where you are? Pray this prayer with me and mean it. Jesus, I need something radical to happen in my life. Please forgive me of my sins. Please come into my life. Thank you for dying for me and giving me the hope of heaven. Help me to live a radical life for you. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer, send us an email to prayer@calvaryfv.com so we can pray for you by name and send you some information to help you with your walk with Jesus. God bless you.